Next week, yeah.
My 12 reservations for that show.
Okay.
I'm not going to Spain.
Okay.
Others of my family.
Okay.
Certainly.
Someone has to work for a living sometime.
I still have to open my legs.
Oh, yeah.
It's not a pleasant place. It's not a joyful place. Not a joyful place.
No,
Spain? The churches and all the.
Yeah. I think we left off last week. We were learning Saita Yud Gimel on the base, about 15 lines from the top. Rabbi Katanik mentioned that he has Yud Zayt for his mother this coming Friday. So we dedicate the learning Lazech and Nishma Saisha Itta Bas Moshe. We left off about 15 lines from the top where the Gemara said the line begins by Yomas Er B'Yoyna. I think we left off there. Amar Rab Yehuda Amar Rav. The Chumash quotes Yosef as telling his children, he had his children and his brothers swear that when it comes time for Yetzias Mitzrayim, they'll take his bones along with them. So usually we talk about Atzomus after a person is dead and buried, and then the flesh of the body decomposes. All you have left is Atzomus. That's called Likat Atzomus. They used to bury a person in one location, and after 2-3 years, when they assumed all the flesh disappeared, so they would gather together all the bones and bury the bones in another location. And the Gemara has a din when you move the bones from one location to the other. So there's a din you observe avelus. Again, I think we spoke a little bit about it last week. So you refer to bones. That's after the whole flesh decomposed. Here, Yosef is still alive, and he refers to himself in the Chumash. We don't know. Whenever the Chumash quotes someone as saying something, it's not necessarily a direct quotation, word for word, the way he said it. A lot of the times in the Chumash, it's a paraphrasing of what he said. And the Chumash has, the Torah has a reason why they paraphrased it. So here, it's not necessarily the case that Yosef used that expression. HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, right in the Chumash, that that's what Yosef said. It doesn't mean he said it verbatim. So the Gemara says, Mepnei ma nikra Yosef atzomis b'chayov. Why did the Rabban Shalom dictate to Moshe Rabbeinu? Not a question. Why did Yosef call himself Atzamas? He probably didn't use that lashon. He said, "Rebury me, take my body along." When the Rabban Shalom told Moshe Rabbeinu to write it in the Chumash, so he dictated, "Write v'halisim es atzmoisai miza itchem." They should take the bones. A bones is on a dead person. And the Gemara must be a punishment to Yosef. He did something improper, because of which he deserved a punishment that is considered atzamas while he's still alive. So what avla did he do? The Gemara says, "M'nei shalom micha b'chvayd aviv." He was mezalzel a little bit b'shevi altase on kibud av. When the brothers came back, so he asked the brothers, "How's your father?" That's his father. They didn't realize that he was the brother. How's your father? So they say, "Avdecha avinu is okay." So he should have been meicha. What do you mean, avdecha avinu? That's his father. So he was quiet. He didn't want to reveal that he was Yosef, her brother. So because of his shtick, Yosef decided he's not going to let on that he's a brother. So he allowed the brothers to refer to the father as Avdecha Avinu. The brothers had no brayer. Look, if they're not going to be subservient to Yosef, he cannot kill him. He can decide not to give him any food and they'll die from starvation. So pikuach nefesh is a safik pikuach nefesh. A sveik sveik a pikuach nefesh is decha kol atarkula. There's decha the mitzvah kibur aviyim. So the brothers were allowed to say avdecha avinu. They have to be subservient. We were all avadim. Our fathers and Evan were all avadim and had to speak nicely to Yosef. But Yosef, it wasn't necessary for him to be quiet. This is all because he didn't want to let on that he's the brother. So since he allowed them to say avdecha avinu v'lo yamaluhu v'lo yamid, he didn't say anything. He wasn't Moicha and Kibud Av, so that's why he deserved the punishment that the Rabban Shalom dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu right in the Chumash that he's called Atzomus during his lifetime. The Gemara has such a lashon, Rishoyim Mechayim Kruim Mason. Tzadikim Imisasim Kruim Chaim. The Tzadikim leave a wonderful influence even after they die, years after they die. And Rishoyim Mechayim Kruim Mason, they don't have a positive influence. A mace doesn't have any influence, he's dead. So the Rishayim Mechayim Akuim Atzomis. So that's why the Torah, in this one word, Atzomis, refers to Yosef as if he was a Rosha, because he was Mezazel Akibir Avim. Then the Gemara has another comment. The Pasuk says, Vayomis Yosef V'cholacha V'chol Adorahu. Bnei Yisrael, Vayoncha Yisrael Min Avoido, the Pasuk says. So the simple reading of the Pasuk, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, Yosef ben Yamin. Yosef was one of the youngest of the brothers, and the Pasuk sounds like he died first. Vayomis Yosef V'cholacha V'chol Adorahu. So if you take the Pasuk literally, Yosef died first, and then Kolachav, and then Kol Adorahu. How come Yosef died first if he was younger than most of the others? Binyamin was younger than him, and he was younger than all the other brothers. Pasuk sounds like he died before the other brothers, and for the Gemara, because he went into politics. That's called Rabbonis. He went into politics, and politics you don't have an Arichas Yamin. If a person goes into politics, he's going to get an Ein Hara. Many people will not be happy the way. People should always try to lead a private life. And anyone who gets involved in public politics is going to suffer from an Ein Hara.
Isn't there Derek usually in the Gemara that when you have a Tzaddik, you always try to say good things about him and a Rosh Hashanah is a bad thing? But here this should be reversed. There's a Tzaddik and
he's known as Yosef HaTzadik, yeah. But the Gemara picks out this one word, Atzamas, to show that he's punished because of the Zilzal and Kibbutz, yeah. The Gemara understands the Chumash is teaching us we shouldn't do that mistake. We shouldn't make the same mistake. Then the Mishnah was talking about Mida Keneged Mida. But because Yosef was the one who was careful to take care of the burial of Yaakov Avinu, that's why when he died, Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in his kvur. Because Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in the kvur of Yosef, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was metapel in his kvur when he died. Everything was Mida Keneged Mida. So because we were talking about Yosef, so Derech Agav, the Gemara is going to continue to have Agarata about the Psukim about Yosef. So the Pasuk says, when the brothers sold Yosef, the Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, Yosef was taken down to Egypt. What is Hurad? So Pasuk Shad, because Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol HaRotzes, so when you go from Chutz Lort to Eretz Yisrael, it's called Aliyah, and when you go from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lort, it's called Yerida. So Yosef lived with the father, the whole family lived in Eretz Yisrael. And he goes down to Egypt, so it's called the Yored, because Eretz Yisrael Gavoya Mikol HaRotzes, it's higher up. So the Pasuk Shad and the Pasuk Yosef Hurad Mitzrayim, he went from Eretz Yisrael to Chutz Lort. So the Gemara sees in this verb Hurad an additional nuance of interpretation. Amar Ablaz Atikur Hurad El Hurad Shehurad It's Nagnini Paroi Migdulasam. What happened later on was when Paro had the Chalaimis, he didn't know how to interpret it, so he asked all of his expert astrologers, whatever, the big chachamim, the big dream analysts, to interpret the dreams, and he didn't like the interpretations that they gave. So then Yosef was in prison, and he had interpreted the dream of the Saramashkim. So the Saramashkim told Yosef, Saramashkim told Paro, he's a genius, he knows how to interpret dreams correctly. So Yosef interpreted Paro's dream, and they made him the prime minister. So all of the tzagninim lost their jobs. So the Gemara sees in the verb hurad, so hurried the tzagninim Paro migdulosam, because he went down to Egypt, so they lost their parnasa, they lost their jobs. Because later on he was sold as an eved, and later on he interpreted the dreams of the Saramashkim, so he caused them to lose their jobs. Then the pasuk continues, Vayiknehu Potifar Sris Paroi. What do you mean, Potifar? What kind of a name is that? A name, Potifar. So the Gemara understands that Potifar is a nickname. That's not his real name. He must have had some other name. Potifar is a nickname. Zog the Gemara, he was a homosexual. Amarav Shekinoi Liatzma. He bought this good-looking Jewish boy, Yosef HaTzadik, because he wanted him to be his partner. That's what it means. Potifar has the connotation. Sris Paro means that he wanted him for Mishkav Zohar. And then the Gemara has a tradition. Bo Gavriel, the Malach came and he made it impossible that he should start up with Yosef. Upiroi. And he caused him to lose his ability to have Tashmish, Potifar. So he couldn't even get Yosef involved in sinning. How does he see this? Because Mekorek said Potifar's nickname originally was Potifar, himself Potifera. So Potifera has the meaning of Piro'im, he completely made it impossible for him to have tashmish.
Rabbi says that all the names of the Egyptians are a combination of Pei, Ayin, and Rage. Every one of them had one of the or more of those letters.
Any reason why?
Just
Egyptian names. Uh-huh. Okay. I think Gemara seems to assume that it's a nickname.
Who was your father? All Egyptians had a Pei.
Interesting.
I agree with you.
Mm-hmm. Then the Gemara's commenting, we had the Mishnah said Yosef was the one who was metapel in the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in the kvura of Yosef. He fulfilled the shvua, the promise that Bnei Yisrael promised they're going to bury Yosef in Eretz Yisrael. So later on, Mida connected Mida, Kadosh Baruch was metapel in the kvura of Moshe. So once we're talking about Moshe, so they give an agarata unrelated to the Mishnah. So the pasuk says, Vayam Hashem Eilai Rav Loch. What do you mean, Rav Loch? Al Tosef da Moshe Rabbeinu was Chanan. He's davening to Rabban Shalom so many hundreds of tefillas. He should allow him to enter Eretz Yisrael. Rabban Shalom says, "Don't daven anymore. I'm not going to let you enter Eretz Yisrael." What does it mean, Rav Loch? So the Gemara says, "Am Rav Levi Berav Biser Berav Bisruhu," because Moshe Rabbeinu once used a lashon, a very sharp lashon, and he used the verb, he used the expression Rav. So that's why we told him the bad news, also using Rav. What did he say? Berav Biser, Moshe Rabbeinu used the expression Rav, which is a harsh expression, when he was giving tochacha on the occasion of the Korach, the machlok is by Korach. So Berav Bisru, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punished him, and he spoke to him in a harsh lashon. Berav Biser, Rav Lachem. Rav Lachem B'nai Levi, no?
Yeah.
Rav Lachem B'nai Levi. So the Gemara sees that was very harsh. He should have said, he could have said it in a more edel way. So because he spoke so harshly, so Rav Bisru, Rav Loch. That's why the Baruch Shalom bopped him over the head and he told him in a harsh fashion, "No, I'm not going to let you enter it." So Baruch Shalom could have told it to him in a softer fashion, but they told him in a harsh fashion, "Mida Kenegan Mida." It's like the Mishnah saying, "Mida Kenegan Mida," rewarding Moshe for being metapel in the kvura of Yosef. So this is Mida Kenegad Mida, Anoinash. So that's the one interpretation of Rav Loch. We're telling him the bad news that you should stop davening because your prayers are not going to help. And we're using that Loshen Rav, Mida Kenegad Mida, because that's how he spoke harshly to the Bnei Korach. Dover Acher, another nuance. What does it say, Rav Loch? You're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael because I already appointed Yeshua ben Nun. It's time for Yeshua ben Nun to be the chief rabbi of Bnei Yisrael. And you cannot go into Eretz Yisrael. You're going to go as a private civilian. You won't let Yeshua ben Nun function. If Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come to Eretz Yisrael, Yeshua ben Nun won't be able to be the chief rabbi. So, Davarach, another nuance, Rav Loch, Rav Yeshloch, Amana Yeshua, there's a new chief rabbi, Yeshua, and I can't allow you to enter Eretz Yisrael. Another interpretation, another nuance of the phrase Rav Loch. Rav Loch means the Bnei Yisrael are going to see you keep on offering one tefillah after another tefillah after another tefillah. You're davening so much, and I'm such a miserable God that I don't listen to any of your prayers. You're offering hundreds of prayers. The Medrash says hundreds of tefillahs. The Gematria of Aschanan, so many tefillahs. The Baracher Shelo Yomru, that Sibur shouldn't say Arav Kamakosha V'Talmud Kamasarvan. The Talmud is Moshe Rabbeinu. He keeps on, he's so insistent, he keeps on davening one tefillah after the other. Harav Kamakosha, look how the Rabbanu Shalom doesn't listen to any of his tefillahs. So that's why the Rabbanu Shalom says, Rav Loch, I'm your Rebbe, and it's a busha to me that you should keep on davening, and the tzibur are going to say, look, the Rabbanu Shalom is so tough, he doesn't listen to any tefillahs. Why was Moshe Rabbeinu punished so much? Let him go and Eretz Yisrael already. What's this? What was the great Avera? The Pasuk says Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't allowed to enter Eretz Yisrael because of some Avera that he did. So the Rechaim HaKadosh and Chumash lists off 10 different opinions. What was the Avera? So Rashi says, Shimonah HaMoirim, he got angry. He shouldn't have gotten so angry. So he should have said it calmly. So what would you say instead of Shimonah HaMoirim? Well, is that something equivalent but a little softer? or another interpretation, because he hit the rock instead of talking to the rock. It's such a gross avera. If I would have done, you would have done, wouldn't be considered an avera. Whatever the avera does, all the 10 shittas, whatever the avera was, it was Amosha Rabbeinu's Madrega, that was Farech and does an avera. A normal person, whatever the 10 pshatim are, wouldn't be considered an avera. So the Gemara says, V'kol kach lama, why did he deserve such a punishment? How serious could the avera have been? So the Gemara told the Rebbe Shmuel, the Brisa says, L'fum gavna, L'fum gamla shichna. The bigger the camel is, so the, what does shichna mean?
Load on.
So you put it,
you add on
heavier package. So it means HaKadosh Baruch Hu Medakdik Min Tzadik of Kuchut Asayra. The greater a tzaddik a person is, so the more we expect of him. Like the bigger camel, the bigger the camel is, so the heavier a load it can carry, it'll be expected to carry. So because Moshe Rabbeinu was on such a high madrega of Shmiras HaMitzvahs, so the Baruch Hashem expected more from him. So, but by us would not be considered an avera, but him was considered an avera. So once we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu, so they continue. So Moshe Rabbeinu, right before he dies, in the end of Chumash Dvarim, tells Bnei Yisrael, Yom Alehem, tells the Jewish people, B'me'ev Shana Neche Hayom, I am today 120 years old. What do you mean Hayom? It means it was Zion Adar, or Vav Adar, Vav Adar. The last day in the 120th year. If it would be Zion Adar, what, it would already be 121, the first day in the 121st year. So the Gemara says, what is the connotation? What is the connotation of the word Hayom? Shein Tam Lama Hayom. You could have said, B'meir Eshem Shana Anochi. What's the significance of adding on Hayom? The answer is, Hayom Molo Yoma Yoshnoisai. Today, Ataka reached the age full 120 years, not just in the middle of the year. Not just 119 and a half a year. Taka, full 120 years. The Lamdach, what's the lesson that is teaching you? Shakadosh Baruch Hu Mashlam Shnaseim Shal Tzadikim Yom Liyom Mechodesh Lechodesh. They live out however many years they're supposed to live. They live till the end, the full years. As the Pasuk says, Dichsiv is Mispe Yamech Amalei. That's a bracha. That a person will live out all the years that were Nigzam and Hashemayim. By Yad HaMarishan, I think the Arachayim on Chumash points out in Parashas Bereishis, it says, Adam Sheis Enosh Kenem Halala, all the Esedoris may Adam HaMarishan Ad Noach, and then from Noach to Avraham Avinu. So it says, how old he was when he gave birth to this child who was the next link to the next generation, how many years he lived afterwards, and adds it up and says some total of how many he lived. How many years he lived. So by Yad HaMarishan, it adds up in the end. The only one is Adam HaMarishan of the first 10 generations says, how long he lived, Asher Chai. What's the significance of Asher Chai? So the Chaim HaKadosh HaChumash quotes that famous passage from the Zohar, that really Adam Rishon should have lived 1,000 years. But he didn't live the full 1,000 years, whatever that means. He donated 70 years to David HaMelech, otherwise David HaMelech would have been a Nephil. He wouldn't live at all. So that's why Adam Rishon did not live the full amount of years that was Nigzam HaTchil at birth. How long she lived. By the other 19 generations from Adam Rishon till Avraham Avinu doesn't say Ashachai. Means they lived out the full amount of years that was nigzar on them to live. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Gemara understands from this word Hayom, it was nigzar should live 120 years. So he lived the full 120 years to the day. It's Mispe Yamecha Alamalei. Huh? It also says Ashachai. That he shouldn't see Esav Yetzer the Tarbis Ro. So then Moshe Rabbeinu says, I am now 120 years old, Hayom. I'm old, I'm falling apart, I can't walk anymore, I krechts, he can't get around. Is that what it means? My Lotzeis Volavo. How do you translate that? E Lema. If you should say that he's simply falling apart, he's old, he's decrepit. Lotzeis Volavo Mamish, a Kenish game. With the shtekin and with the wheelchair, he can't go at all. It says he was healthy like a younger person. That's one. He was able to see, he was able to function very well. And the other pasuk says that when Moshe Rabbeinu was told by Kodesh Baruch Hu, Ale al har Havarim hazeh, she climbed up to the top of Havarim, looking at Eretz Yisrael, the Musham, you're going to die on top of the mountain. So the pasuk says, "Vayal Moshe mi'arvis mo'yav al har nevoi." He climbed up on his own. This old man, 120 years old, climbed up on his own. The Tanya, we have a brisa that says, Shtei Mesri Malas Hayusham. It was basically 12 steps. What do you mean? There are no steps in the mountains. I mean, basically, the height of 12 big steps to climb up. It's not so easy to go mountain climbing. Upasan Moshe Bipsiachas, Moshe Abeno jumped up, hopping and skipping and jump, and he climbed up to the top of the mountain, 1, 2, 3. Bipsiachas, he didn't have to stop in between, he didn't have to rest on every floor. Like when all the people have to walk up 5 flights, so they have to have chairs and every landing to rest. Moshe Abeno didn't have to rest, he climbed up, so he's very healthy. So what does it mean? Lucha Lod Lotzus Velov, he was very healthy. And for the Gemara, Amrav Shmuel Rachmeni Amrav Yonson, lots of love with the Divrei Torah. He wasn't able to talk in learning like he always was. All the years, the Medrash says that Moshe Rabbeinu said Torah, it was Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grana. It's like a Mayan HaMizgaber. He was flowing. It wasn't him talking. It was Shechina was saying, kept on flowing. And on this occasion, right before he died, he wasn't able. He was in his right mind, is able to talk and learning, but it wasn't the same as it always was before. I think the Torah Tmimah quotes such a word from one of the latest Svarim. The Gemara has a comment on the Pasuk in the beginning of Ha'azinu, the beginning of Shiras Ha'azinu. So it says, Kishem Hashem Ekro Havagodah Lavakenu. So the Gemara says, we learn from that pasuk. Gemara says in Brachos, from that pasuk we learn the requirement, the necessity to recite Birchas HaTorah. Yishem Hashem Ekra, Kol HaTorah Kula Shmaisa V'Shal HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I'm about to learn a little Torah. Everyone should give a praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we learn from that pasuk, Adin Deraisa, the Ramban counts it as one of the mitzvahs, one of the 613 mitzvahs, to recite Birchas HaTorah before you're about to learn. So what did Moshe Rabbeinu wake up the day he's about to die? He finally cracked his voice to say Birchas HaTorah. What about all the 40 years before after Maimon HaSinai? He should have said Birchas HaTorah. Why does the pasuk only appear the last day as he's about to go to sleep? Then he says Birchas HaTorah. So the Torah Tmimah quotes from one of the latest Svarim that the whole time of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Grana, he wasn't talking or learning. So he didn't have to say, I don't know if that's true, the din is like that. You didn't have to say Birchas HaTorah. He wasn't talking, he just stood there, and the voice was coming out. But the last day, it was Nistat V'Menu, Shari Chachma, he no longer had this Mayonis HaChachma, when Nistatmo, I think Rashi and Chumash quotes a different lotion. We have Nistat V'Menu, Shari HaChachma, the gates of Chachma. Rashi and Chumash quotes a lotion from the Tanoim, from the Sifrei, Nistatmo Mimenu, Mayonis HaChachma. A Mayan is like a Mayan HaMizgaber. So it was no longer Shechina Medaberes Metakrana. So he was talking and learning. When he was talking and learning, he had to say Birchas HaTorah. Is that really so? Let's say I'm going to listen to a Shir. I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to sit and listen. So you don't have to say Birchas HaTorah. It's probably not correct. You probably have to say Birchas HaTorah. We would say Shamea Ka'ina. We're used to thinking Shamea Ka'ina. If I want to be Yotze Tkiya Shofar, you say Shamea Ka'ina. I want to be Yotze Kiddush Avdallah. He says Shemeh Kaina. But Tosis points out in Brocha, Shemeh Kaina is not only if you want to be Yotze. Let's say Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was proclaiming the Aseres HaDibros. And we were listening. Do we have a chiyuv to say Anochi Hashem Elokecha? We have no obligation. So Tosis says, but it was Shemeh Kaina. It doesn't mean we're Yotze as if we said Anochi. We don't have to say Anochi Hashem Elokecha. All it means is that one who pays attention to someone else speaking is considered as if on the Madrega that he spoke. There's a din, one who thinks and learning is not obligated to say Birchas HaTorah, and Shulchan Aruch says one who talks and learning has to say Birchas HaTorah. So if I listen to Ribbono Shel Olam, to any lecturer, give a shiur in Torah, and I'm listening, that Shamea Kaina. It's not that I'm Yotze as if I said Anochi Hashem Elokecha. If I say it's Sheker, I am not Anochi Hashem Elokecha. But it's not considered a Madrega of Hirhur. It's considered a madrega of dibur b'divrei Torah. Shamea is kedibur, shamea kaina. Some achrenim say hira mitoch haksav. Nishari tshuva next to the behetiv has a machlokes. If you assume that, like the Shulchan Aruch says, a mahara b'divrei Torah, one is thinking, learning, doesn't have to say Birchas HaTorah. Only if you talk and learning. So what if you're reading from a sefer? You're reading in your mind. You're not pronouncing the words. So some say the hira mitoch haksav is also kedibur. The only time I say hira is hibur, hirur. Hearer is on a level of thinking. Hearer, if it's hearer, not not as a reaction to some outside stimulus. But if I'm listening to someone say Divrei Torah, either the Rabbanu Shel Olam or another human being is saying Divrei Torah, and I'm listening, so just like you say there, Shamea Ke'oina, that's not considered a Madrega of Hira alone. That's a higher level of Hira that's equivalent to Dibur. So Hira Mitoch Haksav, to learn from a Sefer, even if you don't pronounce the words, is also, there's an outside stimulus that's getting me to think in Divrei Torah. That's also a higher level. It's also Kidibur Domi. Shaila that... It says in the Chumash, "Le'ir b'chayir v'zdava v'shav me'acharecha." The Gemara learns that in brachas from the pasuk, you're not permitted to learn Torah, you're not permitted to recite a bracha keneged erva. So the Gemara is medayik from the pasuk, "Le'ir b'chayir v'zdava." Only dibur asa hira muter. Let's say you're going on the trains, in the summertime, half the women are more than half undressed; they're all undressed. So you're not allowed to talk Divrei Torah, but you're permitted to be Maharib Divrei Torah. So what about to look in a Sefer and not to pronounce the words? Whether here Metech HaKsav is considered a Madrega of Dibur, here Metech HaKsav is like Dibur, like Shemea Kohina, well, here is here. So that's what the Shari Tshuvik brings this opinion. And some say just like Shemea Kohina, some hold that Kriya Metech HaKsav is a higher level than just here. The three different levels of human activities is machshava, dibur, and maisa. So machshava, let's say, alav shein bo maisa, ein loik molov. When you get to malchus, you have to have davke maisa. When you get to chiyav chatos, you have to have maisa. The chilu shabbos, you have to have maisa. The other halachas where you need davke maisa. Whenever you need asiel l'shma, you have to make tzitzis l'shma. You have to write a get l'shma. So to be considered l'shma, you have to do a maisa l'shma. So there are certain areas where the halacha requires a maisa. So let's say a person does hirhur, a person does dibur. So dibur is a machlekes in the Gemara. We a machlekes in Bechon Rish Lakish. But you hold that the dibur is a lab sheim or maised ein loikem olav. Well, what happens if he does dibur that accomplishes the result? So then the dibur is sabin maised. So Tosis interprets the Gemara. Whenever the dibur brings about a result, so that has al pidin the status of a maised. What if the person does machshava and it brings about a result? A person, let's say, is maharer, and he makes a behemah tmura. If the person says harezu tachazu, this week's seder, in the end of B'chu Kaisa, the person is not allowed to switch one carbon for the other. So let's say he designated a ma'isa behemah, he designated a carbon shlom and carbon oilam, and then he decides he wants to switch it to bera, rabbi, to whatever, for better or for worse, he wants to switch the animal. So you're not allowed to do that, and if you did, then it becomes hayuhus marasi yakodesh. So the one that you wanted to switch the Kedusha onto becomes Kodesh, and the first one remains Kodesh. So the whole Aveira of Temura is violated like the Amira. He just talks, he says, Harezu Tachazu, and the Mishnah says that he gets Malkus. So don't you see, Beferish, that an Aveira that's committed to a Dibur, you do get Malkus? So either you see that the Lav She'en Bo Maisa Loikem Olav, or you see that Dibur is considered a Lav She'esh Bo Maisa. So Rabbi Yochanan says, no, that's an exception to the rule, because b'dibur es avid maisa, because by talking he accomplishes a result. The animal becomes nitfas b'kdushas tmura. So the Rishonim say that's only if he does dibur and it accomplishes a result. What if he does hirur and that accomplishes a result?
Like
pigol. Pigol, right. You see, pigol is, okay, the Rishonim talk about it by pigol. So pigol, there's an added question. The question, how do you make pigol? Pigol means, I have a machsheves, I'm shechting the carbon, I'm kabbalas adam, halachas adam, zrikas adam. I have a machsheves pigol at the time I do the avoida. So the machshove makes it pigol, or do you say, no, the machshove makes the avoid into an avoidas pigol, and avoidas pigol makes it pigol. Maybe the shchita, the machsheves pigol, the shchita makes it pigol. Maybe the halacha makes it pigol. Maybe the zrika makes it
pigol.
No,
pigol you have to say.
That's also a machlokes. But the pigol you have to say or machshava is enough. It's also a machlokes.
If a person is an eight checker, Rabbi, and somebody gets malchus because of it,
yeah.
So
Tosfos says because agidei his dibur, a whole story happened. Bezna made a gemar din on him. Yeah. So Tosfos says that the way we pass on like Rabbi Yochanan. That Temura is called Alav. Tosfos claims we pass like Rabbi Yochanan. That the Dibur is Sabid Maisa. If you'd said Harezu Tachazu, since it accomplishes a result, your Dibur brings about a result that it becomes Nitfas, B'Kedushas Temura. So that's called Alav Sheyesh Bo Maisa. So Tosfos says, if Edim come and they give Edu Sheker, And then based on their Eidu Sheker, we make a Gemar Din on someone else. That Tosis claims that's also called Bediburis Avid Mais. Whenever a result comes about through Dibur. What if a person does Hirur? He's Mahara, let's say. He wants it to become Tamura. He's Mahara Tamura Balev. So would you say they're also B'machshavta is Avid Maisa? So the Shita Mekubetza says no. And the Rishonim talking about it by Pigel. By Pigel it could be, that's the Ramban and the country's Din and the Gami. Throws in a monkey wrench. He thinks that Pigul does not, neither the Dibur nor the Machshava makes Pigul. He thinks the Avoida is Pigul. The Machshava labels the Avoida as an Avoida is Pigul. And doing the Avoida, one of the Dalar Avoida is Adam, the Shchita Kabbalah Heloch Azrika, the Avoida is Pigul, passels the carbon. So if you say it like that, that's a Maisa. Avoida is Pigul is a Maisa.
But the Avoida is until the next day. The Avoda wouldn't be until the next day. What if he doesn't do the Pigul?
No, he's doing the Avoda now. He says
that it's going to be Pigul. But what if he doesn't leave it over for the next day?
No, it doesn't matter. It already becomes Pigul. Let's say I shech the carbon and I plan to put the flesh in the freezer to eat it next month. Okay. It already became Pigul the minute I shecht it and I had the Machshavas Pigul. That's the Machlekes Tosfos. Every 50 blot, Taisus goes through the Machlekes again. That's a Machlekes in Taisus. When the Gemara talks about Machshavas Pigul, does it mean literally, Lo Yechashiv Lo? The Pasuk says, Lo Yechashiv Lo? The Gemara says, Lo Yechashiv. You're not allowed to think Machshavas Pigul. So one day, and Taisus says, Machshavas Machshava, hearer. The other day, Taisus says, no, Machshava means Dibur. The Rush says, the Shaila, let's say when you tie Tzitzis Lishma, Machlekes, but you have to tie Tzitzis Lishma, so we're Machmer. So when you tie tzitzis lishma, so the Rosh raises the question, do you have to have dibur? Or let's say when you bake matzah lishma, shmura matzah means you have to bake it lishma. Do you have to have dibur? You have to say, I'm baking the matzah, the shem mitzvah's matzah, or is machshava good enough? Whatever you need lishma, when you write a get. So do you need amira? The sefer has to write, and any case that gets out lishma, the shem gerishin, or is he, if he has a hearer, he has machshava is good enough. So the Rosh says that depends on these 2 days in Taisu. So the Machshava Spigul is taken literally Machshava. Or if you say the Halacha never recognizes Machshava. Machshava means Dibur. You have to say. So then not only to Machshava to Pasol, to make a Pigul, means Dibur. So Machshava to make Lishma would also need Dibur. So the Mishnah Berurah is a Machmer. The Mishnah Berurah is usually Machmer and everything. So the Mishnah Berurah is Machmer that if you tied the tzitzis, you didn't say you're doing it Lishma. He says you should really untie it and tie it all over again, because there's room to say that the dibur is ma'akev. One of the big rabbanim when the Mishnah Berurah came out, he wasn't the world famous Chafetz Chaim yet, so he needed haskamas from other gedolim who were recognized in that generation. So one of the rabbanim who gave a haskama on the Mishnah Berurah had published already a Shadus HaTshuvas. So in his, I think it's called B'nai Tzion. So in his Shadus HaTshuvas, he has a tshuva about this. He didn't know the Mishnah Berurah was going to write a whole Bir Aloch on this. So he said, did anybody in his right mind ever say such a wild idea that if he tied tzitzis, he didn't say doing the Shmot's puzzle? It can't be. No one would ever say such a thing. So the Sefer that he gave the Haskama on says like that. If you don't say, he probably didn't read every word in the Mishnah Berurah. He looked here and there and he gave a Haskama. So the Gemara says, when Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Luchalad latzeis v'lavad," doesn't mean I'm falling apart. I can't walk. No, he can walk very well. He jumped up. He hopped up to the top of Har Nevo, Har Avarim. He climbed up quickly. He didn't have to stop. Luchalad v'lavad means b'divrei Torah and istat b'menu shari chachma. Then the pasuk says, whenever Moshe Rabbeinu got a nevuah from Hakadosh, whenever he got divrei Torah from the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, he went into the oil moed. He went into the Mishkan to get the Nevuah. The Pasuk says right before Moshe Rabbeinu died, they both went in. Moshe and Yeshua went in. That was the only one and only time Yeshua ben Nun went in to get a Nevuah in Ohel Moed. Vayelech Moshe v'Yeshua v'yisyatzu b'Ohel Moed. They both went into Ohel Moed together. In fact, there's a medrash on that Pasuk that the Ribbono Shel Olam spoke to Yeshua ben Nun and Moshe Rabbeinu didn't hear. So when they walked out from Ohel Moed, so Moshe Rabbeinu asked them, what did the Ribbono Shel Olam tell you? So Yeshua ben Nun turns around and he says, the last 40 years, did I ever ask you what the Ribbono Shel Olam ever told me? So it's none of your business. So Moshe Rabbeinu pleaded with the Ribbono Shel Olam, please take my life. I'd rather have What does he say? The lashon. It's better to have muta toiv misa achas me elef kinis. He's jealous of his talmud. Yoshua ben Nun got a nevuah, and he's not telling him what it is. So he says, I'd rather die than lead such a life that my talmud has a nevuah and doesn't want to share it with me. So it's talking very strange. Yoshua ben Nun was a getraya talmud of Moshe Rabbeinu. What kind of a way to talk is that? What kind of chutzpah? He says, all the 40 years that you got nevuah, did I ever ask you? It's none of your business. So the Velt asked the Kasha, how can he talk to his rebbe like that? So the Vilna Gaon says, no, that was the nevuah. The Rebbe Shalom didn't tell him anything. He just said, he whispered to Yoshua ben Nun, if Moshe Rabbeinu asks you, what did I tell you? Tell him this lashon. All the 40 years that I spoke to you, that was the nevuah. That was the answer. But Moshe Rabbeinu thought that he's being fresh to him. So that's why he pleads with the Rebbe Shalom, take my life. I'd rather die, misa achas, than have elef kinis, than to be jealous of my talmud. So the pasuk says, on that one occasion, Yeshua ben Nun never went into El Moed. And after Moshe Rabbeinu died, he also didn't go into El Moed. That was only Moshe Rabbeinu's madrega of nevuah. That he got a nevuah kedabri shel reyehu. He got a nevuah like a person talks to another one. The Rambam says that all the other neviim got the nevuah b'chalom, b'chazom, amara, they would fall down. Moshe Rabbeinu wouldn't fall down, he wouldn't collapse. That was the high madrega Moshe Rabbeinu. So that day, Yeshua ben Nun went in with Moshe Rabbeinu. They were standing there in Har Moed, and Yeshua got the nevuah, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't get. So the Gemara has an expression, Tana, the Brisa comments, Oso Shabbos, that day, should you zuge hoisa. I was just in the rabbinical council conference today. They had a conference Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So the previous president stepped down, and they got a new president. So they had a whole ceremony. I guess every organization has like that. When you appoint a new president in the shul, when you appoint a new rabbi, and the old rabbi is retiring, moving somewhere else, so he gives over the reins of leadership to the new rabbi. So the Gemara has a brisa that says that week, Oso Shabbos, Shodiu Zugi Hoisa, they had both manhigim, that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving over the leadership of Klal Yisrael to Yeshua ben Nun. They both went into Ohel Moed. Nitla Rishus Mizeh, Venitna Lazeh. The authorization, the leadership was taken from Moshe Rabbeinu and was given to Yeshua ben Nun. Then the pasuk says, then the Mishnah had that Mida Kenegan Mida, that because Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in such a bekavadik way with the burial of Yosef HaTzadik, that's why the Rebbeinu Shalom was metapel in his kvura. So exactly how did that happen? What did the Rebbeinu Shalom do to be metapel in the kvura of Moshe Rabbeinu? So the Gemara's Amar Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara has a comment, the Moli Mikra Kosov, if not for the fact that it seems to be explicit in the Pasuk, Yav Shal Yomer, we wouldn't be able to say such an apikursish statement, such a wild idea. Hecha Moshe Meis, look in the Chumash, where did Moshe Rabbeinu die, and where does it say he was buried? Nobody buried him. So he should have been buried in the same place where he died. So it doesn't seem so from the Chumash. Where does it say in the Chumash that he died b'chal kashol Reuven? Why b'chal kashol Reuven? Eretzel was divided already. Reuven got in the Chatz Shevet HaManash, already took their share in the Golan, and then the rest of Eretzel is going to be divided by Yeshua ben Nun after they conquered the land. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? It must have been b'chal kashol Reuven. V'yal Moshe mi'arvis mo'el l'har nevoi, and nevoi b'chal kashol Reuven kaima. We know that. Tichsib, there's a pasuk. Where's that pasuk in Dvarim? Bnei Reuven banu the various cities. Ves Nevo. Nevo was one of the cities that was built up by Shevet Reuven when they took their chelik in Golan. So where did Moshe Rabbeinu die? Har Nevo, which is Bechel Koshal Reuven. That's what it says. Where is he buried? Not Bechel Koshal Reuven. Bechel Koshal God. How do you know? Dichsiv in the Birchas Moshe when he gives all the brachas, he says Vayar. God, Shevet God, took their chelik before all the other Shvatim. Reuven God, Nechatz Shevet HaManasseh, took their share right away before the others. And it says, Kisham Chelkas Mechaykek Tzofun. That's where Moshe Rabbeinu, the Mechaykek, the one who gave us all the mitzvahs from the Rabban Shalom, that's where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. How did it dead? If he died, Moshe Rabbeinu died in Chelkas Shal Reuven, so whoever took him to Chelkas Shal God should know where he's buried. And it says, "V'lo yadish es kvur asai." No one knows where he's buried. So obviously, nobody was there when he was moved. So who moved him? So the Gemara says, "Mechal kashal Reuven at chal kashal God." How How far is the distance? Kamahavi arba milin. That takes a while to go from one to the other. Vasam arba milin miholicho. Who carried the body of Moshe Rabbeinu from one location to the other? The answer is the Rebbeinu Shel Olam. Malamed shehoy Moshe mutar bekanfei Shechina umalach yashare. And they were all saying hespedim. So the Rebbeinu Shel Olam carried the body of Moshe Rabbeinu from one location to the other. He was the Chevra Kadisha. Rebbeinu Shel Olam was the Chevra Kadisha to take Moshe Rabbeinu from the mountaintop where he died to a different mountaintop, to be buried on a different mountaintop. And the various participants, there were no human beings participating there, otherwise someone would know where he's buried. So the various participants, the Malachim and the Rebbeinu Shel Olam and so on, everybody said a different shtickle hesped. So the Malachi Asharis were reciting the Pasuk Tzidkas Hashem Vasa Mishpata Vim Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a holy tzaddik and he gave the Torah to Bnei Yisrael and he passed away. Kadosh Baruch Hu says a different Pasuk as a Dvar Hesped Miyokum Leimirei Misyat Tzivlim Poyal Yovin. I lost my man, Moshe Rabbeinu. I lost him. He caused him to die. Rebbeinu Shel Olam took his life. I lost my man who used to fight for the religious causes. He used to give Musa to Bnei Yisrael. Who's going to fight? Who's going to fight with the Bnei Yisrael when they sin? Who's going to stick up for the Torah? Ushmuel Amar. What do you mean, Shmuel Amar? How did Shmuel get in over here? Shmuel wasn't born yet. Well, he's Shmuel Anavi. Or he means Shmuel, the Amoraim. Shmuel, Rabbi Yechon, all the Amoraim are suggesting other psukim that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam said at a hesped, or the Malachim said at a hesped. They're giving other suggestions of what the hesped was. So Shmuel the Amora says that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam's hesped consisted of a different pasuk. Mika chacham amir dea pesha dover. Pasuk in Koheles. He was, Rebbeinu Shel Olam was praising Moshe Rabbeinu. When you have a big machlekes tuts dadim, so you have to have someone who knows how to give up shara, who knows how to make peace between the two. They should agree on something in the middle. So Bnei Yisrael sinned and Moshe Rabbeinu was angry. The Rebbeinu Shel Olam was angry at Bnei Yisrael because they sinned. So Moshe Rabbeinu figured out how to make up shara between the Rebbeinu Shel Olam with the sinners, and everything worked out. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying as a Dvar Hesped, what a wonderful tzaddik passed away. He knew how to do arbitration. Moshe Rabbeinu knew how to make up shara between me and the Bnei Yisrael when they were sitting. Rabbi Yechanan says maybe they said a different pasuk as a Dvar Hesped. Either the Rebbeinu Shel Olam or the Malachim, they must have mentioned another hesped. A chachma miyayin timotzi. Oh, this Moshe Rabbeinu, he was such a chacham. Chachma is a koyach ma, an original idea. Moshe Rabbeinu was flowing with original ideas. Rav Nachman says they must have said another pasuk in connection with the Dibre Hesped. Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. They must have mentioned that concluding pasuk in the end of Chumash Dvar about the death of Moshe Rabbeinu. Smalyan Omer, who's Smalyan? Who is this? Rashi says Smalyan is the name of an Amora, like Rav Nachman and Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan. And Tosis quotes to Rabbeinu Hanan all that they're not sure. Either it's a Shem Chacham, like Rashi says, maybe it's the name of some Malach, that they had a tradition that this Malach said a Dvar Hesped. Says Malach Yashor said a Hesped. So there's not a Malach, Smalyan said another Hesped. He must have said, Vayom Hashem Moshe Safra Rabbi de Yisrael. They must have announced the great scribe. He wrote, Moshe Rabbeinu wrote the Hamishon Chumshe Torah, Torah's Moshe. So that must have been the Dvar Hesped. The man who died was the Safra Rabbi de Yisrael. Tanya Rav Lezer Gadloimer, Rav Gadol has a tradition that the Machne Yisrael was rectangular in shape. There were four Machnas, one in each direction, and then the Machne Shechina was in the middle, the Mishkan with the Levim, Machne Levim in the middle. So the whole thing was Shnei Masna Mil, Shnei Masna Mil, 12 mil by 12 mil. So there was a Baskol at that time. How did the people know? What, they have radios? They had email. How did they know that Moshe Rabbeinu died? It was the big Machne. So Ablez HaGadol, Ablez Ben Hurkin, this is known as Ablez HaGadol. Ablez HaGadol says that there was a Baskol Mashmir V'yama V'yamas Moshe Safra Rabbi Yisrael. The Baskol announced it like on a loudspeaker. They announced Ben Hashemayim that Moshe Rabbeinu, the big scribe, the one who wrote the whole Torah, just passed away, so everybody knew. There's a line in the Talmud Yerushalmi that's very surprising. Why do we call him Ablez HaGadol? So the Yerushalmi says, we refer to the Rebbeinu Shel Olam as HaKel HaGadol HaGibor HaNoyah because he acts in a humble fashion. So Rabbi Lezer HaGadol was a super genius, and he acted always with such humility, so that's why they nicknamed him Rabbi Lezer HaGadol. Usually when you don't know that, Yerushalmi, you study all the Gemaras, it looks different. Rabbi Lezer HaGadol was always knocking everybody down. They used to have votes, and he was outvoted, and he always would tell them, Al techush el minyanechem, forget about your votes. You don't know what you're talking about. I'm the only one who knows everything. So you get the impression that he was not at all humble. From all the stories in the Bavli, and he gets upset that people argue with him. He says they put him in Cherem, so that he has to tell me to him what was the Chiddush. He says, God, tell him it's from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's not a Chiddush, this was known generations ago. He just wipes the floors with everybody. But Yerushalmi says like that. He's known as Rabbi Lezer HaGadol because he was more humble than all the others. Yeah. So he has such a tradition that the way Bnei Yisrael were notified, there was a baskom in Hashemayim that spread around the whole Machne Yisrael, Yud Beis Mil, Yud Beis Mil, and notified them that Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. The Yesh Omrim, there's one version, Lo Meis Moshe, he never died. What do you mean never died? I mean, the Rabbi Shalom just told them, you have to retire. You can't be the manigik, it's time for Yeshua Nun to take over. Vayom Moshe Moshe just means he retired from active duty. So where is he? He's resting in heaven somewhere. He's no longer functioning as a human being. He relaxed. Loi Meis Moshe. What's up is Loi Meis Moshe. Ksiv Hoch here it says, Vayom Moshe Moshe, Eben Hashem. Ksiv Hoch, Vayi Shomim Hashem, Aboim Yom, Aboim Loila. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to Harsina, so there it has the word Shom, and he was Eimer and Mishamesh, he was listening, he was standing at Harsinai, Anochi Yamadat to Behor, Aboim Yom, Aboim Loila. He was standing at Harsinai, learning the Torah for 40 days and 40 nights. Here it says, Vayom Hashem, so Sham is a Gzeir Hashem. Mala Halon, Oymen and Mishamish, just like the word Sham, when Moshe Rabbeinu was on Hasina for 40 days and 40 nights, he didn't die. Afkan, it says, Vayom, it means he retired. He never really died.
If he didn't die, we could say, Hey,
Munach, Hachiyogo,
Moshe Rabbeinu.
Okay. Strange Agarata, Moshe Rabbeinu never died. Okay. The Yeshomer, it's one opinion. Yeah. I guess the fact that it doesn't say Yehemunach Hatshiyav Moshe Rabbeinu because that Mishnah doesn't follow this Yeshomer. That Mishnah holds like the other Tanah, we think that he really did die. Then the pasuk says Vayikbaros Abagai Beretz Mayav Mul Beis Peor. It says exactly, precisely where Moshe Rabbeinu was buried. Bagai Beretz Mayav Mul Beis Peor. And then the next phrase in the pasuk says, "But the other issue is kuros adayam azeh." So he points out, "Look how strange it is." Amar Abrechia Simon b'toch Simon. You have three simanim. Bagai. Bagai is a
valley.
Eretz Moav, and Mul Beis Por. So you have three simanim. So he says it's a simon b'toch a simon. It's describing Afilach Liyadish is Kvarasa, no one knows where he's buried. Did they ever try to ascertain? Did they ever try to figure out where he's buried? The Gemara says, yeah. They sent Kvar Sholcha Malchus Harashah. Malchus Harashah usually means the Roman governor. So the Gemara has a tradition that the Romans heard about this pasuk in Chumash. Moshe Rabbeinu is buried somewhere there, Har Navo, nobody knows where. Har Avarim. And so the Romans wanted to figure out where he was buried. The government, Rashi says, the Roman government sent the messengers to the government of Beis Peor. Arena Hech Moshe Kavu, show us exactly where the tomb of Moshe Rabbeinu is. Omdu Lamailo, so they were standing on top of the mountain. They say, it looks to us that there must be a burial plot down below. Nid Balahem Lamata, third is down below. Then when they went Lamata, they were looking around. Did Mahem Lamaila, so they thought it must be buried up on top. Then Nechel Kulishtei Kitas. So they figured, we're guessing. So they divided into two groups, and some of them stood on top, some of them stood on bottom, and they're trying to figure out where is the burial place of Moshe Rabbeinu. So Osam Shamdim Lamaila and Did Mahem Lamata. Those who were standing on top of the mountain, they could have sworn there's a burial spot down below. And those who were standing Lamat and then Behem Lamaila. Lekai Mashinem, Elo Yadesh is cross, and nobody knows where he's buried. Then the Gemara makes a comment, Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't know where he's buried. When the Pasuk says, Velo Yadesh Ish, ask Vurasa, who was that referring to, Ish? So the Gemara says, Vish Moshe, Chamar Bachanina says, Av Moshe Rabbeinu himself, Heine De Hechon Hu Kova. Why? Sefach, Velo Yadesh Ish is Kvurasa, and the word Ish has the connotation of Moshe Rabbeinu. Ksiv, so Sabrach Hashem Baruch Moshe Ish Elokim. So the word Ish perhaps refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did the Rebbeinu Shlom decide to have him buried the opposite base Peor? Azazah Bekovet Dika location to be buried. Base Peor is a base Avodah Zarah, Baal Peor. They did such a disgusting practice of Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara says, "Vam Rab Chaman v'Chanin Mitemah Nikma Moshe Eitzel Beis Peor." What was the idea behind that? K'de lechaper al ma'aseh Peor. The Jews did Gilui Arayos in Peor. They did Avodah Zarah in Beis Peor. So the Rebbeinu Shlom wanted that Moshe Rabbeinu should be buried mul Beis Peor to serve as a shtikel kapora for the Bnei Yisrael, that they shouldn't be punished too much for the averus, because Mises Tzadikim is mechaper on the door. So that's why he was buried there. Then the Gemara quotes, unrelated to the previous, a little bit related, but basically unrelated, the same on the Omer Abchamer Rab Chanini had another comment. The pasuk says, "Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu." You should follow the Rebbeinu Shlom. You should go behind him. So you take it literally, as if the Rebbeinu Shlom is walking in front of us, and we should walk right behind him. Chiyev Shalaladim Lahalachach Hashchina. Rebbeinu Shlom is like a burning fire. If you're going to walk in back of the fire, you're going to get burnt. So you can't understand it literally. Ella, what it means is you should follow in the ways of the Rebbeinu Shalom. Rebbeinu Shalom created everybody but Tzelem Elokim. He wants us to preserve that Tzelem Elokim that was implanted within us at birth. So we should preserve the Tzelem Elokim by acting out with the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, al halachach midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, namely mahu the Tanakh describes. So how do we know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Achrei Hashem Elokechem Teilechu? So the Gemara says mahu malbish arumim dichsiv and bereishis after the chet of the Eitz Hadas says vayas Hashem Elokim la'adam alishtoi kostan sor vayal bishem. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu was malbish arumim. They had no idea how they were vayizboishoshu. They were embarrassed when they realized that they were naked. So the Rebbeinu Shalom showed them how to make malbushim. So just like the Rebbeinu Shalom is malbush arumim, afatoh, we should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like for halachta bedrachav, the same thing. Halachta bedrachav, we should also do halbesh arumim. And just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu bikar choylim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is described in Tanakh. How do we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts? We have to look in Tanakh, the Rambam says. That's what the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim, that all of Tanakh describes the way the Rebbeinu Shalom acts in order to teach us how to fulfill the mitzvah of halach de bedrochav, how to fulfill this mitzvah of achrei Hashem elokechem teilechu. How do you preserve the midas of elokus? So by going in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the pasuk says HaKadosh Baruch Hu was mevakeh cholim. Where does it say dichsiv? That was right after Avraham Avinu had the bris milah at such an old age, at the age of 99. So he had to recover, he had to recuperate. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him, and he doesn't give him any nevuah. So the Rashi quotes from the Medrash, what did the Rebbeinu Shlom appear? No nevuah. The answer just came to be mevakeh cholim. That was the ganze visit. So just like we see in Tanakh, the Rebbeinu Shlom comes to be mevakeh cholim, to heal him, afhato bakeh cholim. And just like the Rebbeinu Shlom is described in Tanakh as being Menachem Avol, where does it say, Dichsiv? After Avraham Avinu died, it says, "Vayvarach Elokim es Yitzchak benog," and it doesn't say what the nature of the bracha was. What was the bracha? What, he got a lot of money. His investments were good. What happened? What was the bracha? He had a lot of children. No, Vayvarach means he was Menachem Avol. So that's how the Gemara teaches the point. Vayvarach Elokim es Yitzchak benog means the Baruch Shalom is Menachem Avol. Avatar Nachem Avelim. And then now comes the punchline. Now we're back to where we started. The Mishnah said that everything is Midah Keneged Midah because Moshe Rabbeinu was metapel in the Gvura of Yosef HaTzadik, so that's why Midah Keneged Midah, Rebbeinu Shlom is metapel in his Gvura. So the Tanakh, the Chumash describes the Rebbeinu Shlom as being Koyva Mesim. So that's also included in V'halachta Bedrochav, in Voisidbok, in this post, Achra Hashem Elokechem Teilechu. Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Koyva Mesim, Dichsev Yikbarosa Bagai, Rebbeinu Shlom buried Moshe Rabbeinu, Afatok Kvar Mesim. We should do the same. The Loshon of Masechet Shabbos is a little different. Here it says, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mal B'Sharumim, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mevakeh Cholim, Ma HaKadosh Baruch Hu Menachem Avelim. There in Masechet Shabbos, the Gemara says, V'halachta B'Drachov, the Gemara says, Mahu Rachem, Afato Rachem. There it's described, the Midah, we should have the Midah of the Rebbeinu Shlom. Here it's described differently, the activities we should do. The Midah of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't know what that means. But the activities are described in the Tanakh. So whatever the Tanakh describes and Rebbeinu Shlom is doing, we should do the same. Now Soloveitchik used to say over a medrash, the medrash says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu asks Avraham Avinu, Hishalech lefanai veheyei samim. He asks Avraham Avinu, you be the pioneer, you go ahead. Noach, Rashi quotes in Chumash, Noach was not on such a high madrege. Hishalech lefanai. Esra elokim is halanach. The Rabban Shalom was holding his hand and he went along. And the rest of the Bnei Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom doesn't ask us to be pioneers to go ahead. He doesn't even expect us to hold his hand. Esra elokim. Achre Hashem elokechem teilechum. Follow me. That's the pasuk that the Gemara quotes. Achre Hashem elokechem teilechum. You should follow. So the Rav said he understood the Medrash a little better when he had different age grandchildren. So he would be walking to shul with a whole bunch of grandchildren. So some of them would be running ahead. And some of them he had to hold on to their hands to schlep, and others were schlepping behind him. So he had all the three madrega, had the one who goes ahead. So Avraham Avinu was on the madrega, Hishalech lefanai. He was expected, the Baruch Shalom calls upon him to be a pioneer. You go ahead. And Noach was the madrega, Eselakim. And the rest of Bnei Yisrael, he says, Achre Hashem Alkechem Teilech. If you follow me, it's good enough. So because Agav the Agav, the Brisa said we should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, just like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Arumim, we should do the same. So where do you say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malbish Arumim? Because the Pasuk says after the Chet of the Eitz Adas that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made Kostan Sor by Al Bishem. The Baruch Shalom made the Begodim for Adam and Chava. Vayas Hashem Elokim L'Adam L'Ishna Kostnos Or Vayal B'Shem. What does it mean? Kostnos Or, Ksonis is a garment of leather. He made them leather clothing. That's what it means. So the Gemara has two pshat. Machlokes Rav Shmuel, how do you teach? How do you translate that phrase, Kostnos Or? Chadom Adav Habo. It doesn't mean leather clothing. That they both hold. But not to be taken literally, leather clothing. Chadom, one of the two Amoraim, Rav Shmuel, one says, Dav Habo Min Ha'or. Rabbi Shalom made them clothing made from wool because the wool grows on the hide of the animal. So he made them woolen clothing. The Chadam and the other Amar says, no, Dover Shahaor Nana Mimenu. He made them linen clothing because the body feels a little uncomfortable when you have wool rubbing up against the body. So linen apparently is more comfortable. So Dover Shahaor Nana Mimenu, he made them linen clothing. So it's Machleik, but no one holds that it means cost and store, then it means leather clothing.
Why did they motivate them to say differently from the
person? I don't know.
Or is
a good show.
Or is not a beggar?
Or is a beggar? The no. Beggar of Or is Makabal Tum. It's a dinner beggar, yeah. I don't know. Gabi Tzitzis, the Gemara says, not Chayv and Tzitzis, because you need a whoop and a woof. Or is one sheet. If you would take leather and you would make it into thread and then you would make a chassis and an arab, a whoop and a woof, and it would also be chayv in tzitzis. That's what the Gdolim said. If you take how do they make nylon? So they make nylon from the synthetic material, they make it from petroleum. So if you take the petroleum and you make a sheet of nylon, so there's no whoop and woof, there's no thread. So that all the Gdalim held is not chayv in tzitzis, that's the same as leather. That is not chayv in tzitzis. Then Rav Moshe had a chiddush that many of the contemporaries did not agree with. Rav Moshe said, since if they wanted to, they could have taken the petroleum and could have made a sheet of nylon. So even though they didn't do like that, they made thread out of it. So even with thread, with a whoop and a woof, it's not chayv in tzitzis because they could have made a sheet out of it. And Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank and others disagree. They said, no, if they made thread out of it, and then you took the thread, you made a chassis and an arab out of it, so then it does have a din of a beged for chiv tzitzis. Yeah, but a beged of leather is a beged. It's a din for tzitzis, you're not mechiv. You want a mechiv in tzitzis if it has a chassis of an arab. Then the Gemara has a comment. Dorish Reb Simloi. The Torah is Tchilas Gemilas Chasodim. The Chumash begins with the story of Gemilas Chasodim. That's after the Chet of Eitz Hadas, HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes the Begodim for Adam and Chava, Kostan Sarva Yal Bishem. And so for Gemilas Chasodim, at the end of the Chumash, it says the way the Rabban Shalom is Metapel and the Kvur of Moshe Rabbeinu. So that's the beginning, that's the end. So that's the main theme of Yiddishkeit, is we should act with the Gemilas Chasodim. We have a minig that we read Megillas Rus on Shavuos. The meaning is mentioned in the Masechah Sofrim from the days of the Goyim. Masechah Sofrim was not from the days of the Tanaim. It was written by the Goyim from Eretz Yisrael. So that was an old minhag. So why do we read Megillas Ruos on Shavuos? So they quote in the name of the Vilna Goyim that Shavuos is the Yontif of Geirus. The Gemara learns out all the dinim of Geirus from Maimon HaSinai. Ma'avasechem la'nichtas elibris elamila tvila karben anasav enishmas kabbalos al mitzvahs. So we learn out kechem ka'avasechem. All the dinim of Geirus are learned out from Maimon HaSinai. Maimon HaSinai was a Geirus, was a Meister Geirus. So, and Megillas Ruos talks about the Geirus. Ruth going back to Eretz Yisrael with Naomi, she says, "Asher tel chayelech, b'asher tel lini olim, m'sham akaver, b'asher tel musi yom, m'sham akaver." So the Gemara says that Naomi was having Ruth be mekabel all mitzvahs. The din is when a person wants to convert, and Nochri wants to convert, you have to be modiyah mitzvahs, mitzvahs kalos, mitzvahs, mitzvahs chamuras. So she was, Naomi was telling Ruth about the laws of Yichud, the laws of Tchum Shabbos. I won't walk chutz l'tchum. I won't violate the laws of Yichud. And then she accepted upon herself the Arba Mises Bezdin. Then she accepted Bashar Tamus Yomus. Whatever the Harugi Bezdin will be buried, she was Mekabal all the old mitzvahs. So we read, did they say from the Vilna Gaon? The reason why we read, they gave different suggestions why. So the Gaon says, Poshet, the reason why we read Megillas Ruos is because it has about Geirus, and Maimon HaSinai was the Geirus of the whole Klal Yisrael. So there's a famous Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Ruos, where he says, this little Megillah of Ruos, Ein lo lo tumah ve lo tara, lo isa ve lo heta, has no halachas. It only has the hodiyah, right, it does have, it has the halachas of Geirus, has the halachas of Kinyan Sudur. But that's what the whole makkah for Kinyan Chalip and Kinyan Sudur is Megillas Ruos. So the Medrash says, Ein lo ba lisa ve lo heta, lo tumah ve lo tara. So what's the purpose, what's the theme of the whole short story of Megillas Ruos? That because Ruth was prepared to do Gvilas Chasodim with Naomi, Naomi was Lebach, an old lady, and her husband died and her two sons died, and she was all broken, and she was in Chutzlot over there, and there it's Moav. So because Ruth and Moavia was kind enough, she didn't want to leave her alone, so she was rewarded. What was the reward? She became Ema Malchus. She became the great-grandmother of David HaMelech. The Melech HaMashiach is going to come from Ruth. That was the reward for L'adir Matan Tzchon Shel Gomri Chasod. So it's interesting. The Gemara says, Rabbi Simloi says over here, the Torah is Tchilas of Esof of Gemilas Chasod. That's the gist of the whole Torah is Gemilas Chasod. Everything else is just details. But the main theme of the Torah is Gemilas Chasod. So maybe that's what that Medrash means also. The whole theme could be that the Medrash is Hainahach, what the Vilna Gaon said. The whole theme of Megillas Ruos, the reason why we read it on Shavuos, because it's the story of Geirus, and Geirus consists of the whole story of Megillas Chasod. The whole Torah is Tchilas of itself, of Megillas Chasod. Then the Gemara, this is a very famous Gemara. Dorosh Reb Simloi, the last narrow line right before the wide lines. Moshe Rabbeinu offered so many prayers, he wanted to enter Eretz Yisrael. So he wants to know, Moshe Rabbeinu likonis l'Eretz Yisrael. Why did he have such a strong desire offering so many hundreds of tefillos? Was he interested because v'hilech on the period who tzorach ol izbam, mituva who tzorach? What, he wanted to have a good time? Eretz Avos Chol HaVadvash, the land that flows with milk and honey, come and go swimming in the Kinneret and enjoy the Paris Chamei Tveria and enjoy. The Gemara says, no. That's not a reason to want to go to Eretz Yisrael. Lech on the period of this boy of mituva. That's what we say in our lamichya. We say v'halein l'sechus hamchein minyan lech on the period of this boy of mituva. So what are we asking? Lech on the period of this boy of mituva. Gemara said that's not a reason to want to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Magen Avraham raises that issue. He quotes the Bach, the Achrayim raise that issue. What kind of a nusach do we have? So some Achrayim say no, Moshe Rabbeinu is not interested. We're interested. We're boss of Adam. We're normal people. I want to enjoy swimming in the Kinneret. I want to enjoy the delicious Paris of Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara says, on the Madrega Moshe Rabbeinu, he was a Ruchni as digger person. He wasn't interested. And the others say, no, they say the name Rav Elbal Soloveitchik. How does it say? V'haleinu l'sechav samchein. How does it go before that? V'nei Yerushalayim mer HaKodesh b'mher v'yameinu. You should rebuild Yerushalayim. The rebuilding of Yerushalayim. Here the Gemara is talking of Vichilech on the period of Eretz Yisrael, Lizbah, Mituvah of Eretz Yisrael. So that the Gemara says just to go to Eretz Yisrael to enjoy the Kinneret and to enjoy the land flowing of milk and honey, that's not such a significant reason. That shouldn't be a motivation. But to go to Yerushalayim, Lechon mi Piriyov, Lizbah, Mituvah of Yerushalayim, so that's what Rav Avla said. No, that refers to Maaseh Sheni and Kachim Kalim. Maaseh Sheni and Kachim Kalim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. So that's Lechon mi Piriyov of Yerushalayim, and Lizbah, Mituvah of Yerushalayim. Goes, no, no, maybe. I remember. Shouldn't say I went, yeah. Gemara seems to say that the Ban Shalom wants us to do the mitzvahs lishma. So if we're gonna, if Chamitver you would have been in Yerushalayim, so a lot of people would go to Be'ola Regal Shalom lishma. They would go to have a good time there in the hotels to enjoy the Chamitver. I remember many years ago, Rabbi Gerelik was trying to convince me that I should go learn in Brisk. So he came to my home, and he was telling my father a whole, bill of goods, selling him a whole bill of goods. So he wanted to tell over this word from Rav Elbala Soloveitchik. So he didn't remember Alamichya by heart. So he asked my father, do you have a siddur? Give me a siddur that has Alamichya. So my father, the first siddur he pulled out was the Balatanya siddur. So Balatanya doesn't have the line. Balatanya, father's not going to leave it out. So he says, the whole Shtika Torah disappeared. So he said, what kind of a siddur is this? Give me a normal siddur. But the Balatanya follows, because the Magen Avraham thing quotes the Bach. Some of the Achronim say you should not say, because it is Gemara. The Gemara said that's not, there would not be a valid reason why Moshe Rabbeinu would want to go visit Eretz Yisrael. He wanted to convince me I should go to learn by Rabbi Beryl Soloveitchik, because he says over all of these wonderful things from his father. So this was one dogma that he wanted to say over.
Time you send students to Mir.
Mm-hmm. To Brooklyn, to Mir Yeshiva, yeah. So the Gemara wants to know what was the motivation for Moshe Rabbeinu to live in Eretz Yisrael. So we know the Rambam wrote a Sefer HaMitzvahs and he lists off what he considers are the 613 mitzvahs. The Rambam does not include the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam does include the mitzvah to establish a Medina. He quotes the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Chof and Mebeis, Gimel Mitzvahs, and this Tav Yisrael, Bichnisosim La'aris, we have an obligation to fulfill three mitzvahs in a specific order. First is Lahamed Lahamelach, to establish a Jewish government over all of Eretz Yisrael. Then Lahach Rizar Shalom Olek. And then the third, after you take care of that, live in Slehem Beis Abchir. So that the Rambam does quote Lahamed Lahamelach, to establish a Yiddish Medina. That is a mitzvah. But the Ramban asks on the Rambam, the Ramban picks on the Rambam, he deletes about 17 mitzvah sesi of the Rambam and has to replace them with 17 other mitzvah sesi. Because the Gemara says that there were 248 mitzvah sesi. Same with the Lavim, he deletes about 17 Lavim, has to replace them with other Lavim. So the Ramban counts as one of the mitzvah sesi that he replaces of the Rambam, not the mitzvah to establish a Medina. That mitzvah the Rambam also mentioned, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And the Rambam didn't mention that mitzvah. So why didn't the Rambam count that as one of the mitzvahs? So some of the Achrayim say, the Rambam holds that that's only, it's a Gemara in the end of Ksubis. There is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. The Rambam quotes the din. There's a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So some Achrayim say, the Rambam holds that it's only a mitzvah midirabbanon. It's hard to believe. It's only a mitzvah midirabbanon to live in Eretz Yisrael. The whole Chumash. The whole Chumash, the whole thrust of the whole Chumash is he supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael? The Pashtas of the whole Chumash, they once asked Rav Kook, what motivated him to become such a big Zionist? Who fired him up? So he says, Chumash. Every time the Torah starts, everything is Lech Lecha Me'atzcham Al-Adatcha Avraham Avin has to go to Eretz Yisrael. And then all the parishes are leading, we should all move to Eretz Yisrael. We should do all the mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Everything leads to Eretz Yisrael.
Not Eretz Zavat Chara Kudvash. That's why maybe
The Kedusha is Eretz Yisrael, not the Zavis Chol of Advash. That's a bonus that has Gashmias also. But they're supposed to want to go to Eretz Yisrael because of the Ruchniyah Shebo. So that's what the Mefarsh Mask Akasha, the Ramban says that there's a mitzvah in our Torah to live in Eretz Yisrael. And many say the Rambam also agrees that there's a mitzvah in our Torah. But the Rambam holds that it's subsumed under a different mitzvah. It's hard to say the Rambam holds a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael only with the Rabban. What's the whole Chumash? You read the whole Chumash from the beginning to the end. The whole thrust of all the mitzvahs is to live in Eretz Yisrael. So the Achrayim say, Maybe it's a mitzvah klalis. Whenever you live, when you observe the 613 mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael, everything is on a higher madrega. Living in Eretz Yisrael enhances the observance of all the 613 mitzvahs. So maybe that's why the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma. Maybe the Rambam didn't count it as a mitzvah b'fnei atzma because it's included in the mitzvah uvoy sidbok. We should be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So those who live in Eretz Yisrael are closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Those who live in Chutz Lartz, ki mi she'en lo aloha. Mi she'dor be'Eretz Yisrael, ki mi she'esh lo aloha. The Rambam, that's what most of the Achrayim hold, not like the Knesset HaGdol. Knesset HaGdol is the one who says that the Rambam holds that the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is only midrabbon. So the overwhelming majority of the Achrayim is not so. The Rambam also agrees that there's a mitzvah, but he doesn't agree with the Ramban that it should be counted as an independent mitzvah. It's included in some other mitzvah. The Avnei Nezer has, the Avnei Nezer is always iluish, always a genius, has a whole theory, fantastic, and he quotes, it wasn't his, he quoted from earlier, there's a Sefer Mayoni HaChochma, on the Sefer HaMitzvah, so he quotes it, and he explains it, explains a lot of things. The Rambam holds, whenever you have a Kefil HaMitzvah, the mitzvah is repeated several times in the Chumash, you don't count it twice. In the Minyan HaMitzvah, you only count it once. It says four times you should put on Shal Yad and four times you should put on Shal Rosh. You have four parshias. And it says in each one of the Dal parshias, he says you only count Shal Rosh as one mitzvah and Shal Yad as one mitzvah. And it says how many times does it say you should need Chelev, you should need Dam. Chelev is one mitzvah, Shal Yad, Dam is one mitzvah, Shal Yad. So the Rambam, not only if it's a Kefil HaMitzvah, so the Avnei Nezer quotes from this, Mayoni HaChochma, one of the commentaries on the Sefer HaMitzvahs, if you have two mitzvahs, one mitzvah is to lead up to another. So that's also, if you're going to count it twice, so it's a kefil mitzvah, it doesn't make sense. So the Rambam already counted the mitzvah hachrim tachrimim. We should wipe out the zaynumis. So imagine, what are we going to do? We're going to put together an army, we're going to go to Eretz Yisrael, conquer the land, wipe out the zaynumis, then move back to Queens, move back to Borough Park. So what do we wipe out the zaynumis for? So obviously, hachrim tachrimim is, we have to get them out of the way. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's mitzvah A leading to mitzvah B. So the Rambam holds that's kefil mitzvah. So that's why he didn't count to live in Eretz Yisrael, because it's the hemshech of the mitzvah, hachrim tachrimim. And he gives other mishalim, where the Mayoni HaChochma has and others have. Whenever you have two mitzvahs, it's not an exact repeat, just for emphasis, it's one mitzvah leading up to another mitzvah. So that's the shaila from this Gemara. If the Ramban is right, and perhaps even the Rambam agrees with the Ramban, I'll be pashtus, that there is a mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael. So what are they asking? What is Rav Shimon Loi asking? What motivated him? What was his desire to live in Eretz Yisrael? What do you mean, what motivated? It's one of the mitzvahs HaTorah, to live in Eretz Yisrael. What's for Shaila does? And the Gemara doesn't answer that. Ella, the Gemara says on the first wide line, what motivated him was Kachama Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu thought to himself, Harvi mitzvahs nitztavi Yisrael, there are a whole bunch of agricultural mitzvahs, leken shikar peyat rumas and maisa shmita v'yoyvel, and more and more and more, peret ololos, more, emes kaimim ele b'Eretz Yisrael, the whole bunch of mitzvahs that you can only fulfill if you live in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he desired, ekonas ani la'oretz, let me enter Eretz Yisrael, let me pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, hundreds of tefillahs to let me enter Eretz Yisrael, I want to be able to fulfill those mitzvahs as well. So what the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is doesn't really exist as an independent mitzvah. It's only to lead up to the fulfillment of the other mitzvahs. That's the whole story. But the Ramban says it's a mitzvah b'fnei atzma to live in Eretz Yisrael.
Ramban says that Eretz Yisrael makhima.
Eretz Yisrael?
Avir shel Eretz Yisrael.
Yeah. The Gemara says, Avir Ad Eretz Yisrael Machkim, yeah. When you breathe the air of Eretz Yisrael, yeah, it helps you. So that's the Shaila. Some interpret over here, the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael, even according to the Ramban, is like some said on the Rambam. Why didn't the Rambam count it? A lot of Achranim say, they all disagree with that Knesset HaGdol. Knesset HaGdol says that the Rambam holds it's only a mitzvah with the Rabban. So they all disagree, how can it be? That's the whole thrust of the Chumash. Everyone is supposed to live in Eretz Yisrael min HaTorah. Whoever can make a decent parnasah, to go live in Eretz Yisrael, to live off of tzedakah, that's an ishkei mitzvah. But whoever can live in Eretz Yisrael, make a normal, decent parnasah, so there's a mitzvah. We should all live in Eretz Yisrael. So some of the Achrayim say the reason why the Rambam didn't count it, because it's really a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Ovoy Sidbok. You have to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So whoever lives in Eretz Yisrael, is closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael than there is in Chutz Lartz. Eretz HaShe'eni HaShem HaKecha Bo Mereshis HaShonu Barach Rishon. There's more Hashgacha Pratis in Eretz Yisrael. So Moshe Rabbeinu was very close to the Baruch Hashem. He didn't need, that's how the Achranim say, he didn't need to live in Eretz Yisrael in order to fulfill the voice Yitzchak. He was Mamish Pel Dababo. He spoke to the Ribbono Shel Olam like a Dabar Yishol Reyehu. So that's what some Achranim say, that was the Gemara's Kasha. What did Moshe Rabbeinu need to live in Eretz Yisrael? The whole purpose of the mitzvah, the whole inyan of the mitzvah to live in Eretz Yisrael is to fulfill a voice Yitzchak, to get closer. Baruch Shalom is the closest that a human being can come to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So what did he need to live in Eretz Yisrael? So the Gemara, he wanted to put himself in a situation that he would be able to fulfill additional mitzvahs. That's what Tosis points out in Menachos and other places, that one who wears a four-corner garment is obligated to put on tzitzis. If one doesn't wear a four-corner garment, not mechuyev to put on tzitzis, there's no obligation to put on tzitzis. So why do we choose to put on? So in the days there were generations where everybody, the goyim in the street, everybody went to the store. They sold you a four-corner garment. But bizman hazeh, nobody sells, nobody in America wears, maybe in Afghanistan, maybe they wear a sheet, they wrap it around. But in America, nobody wears a four-corner garment. Only the Jews go out of their way. So where does this come from? Why do we go out of our way to buy a four-corner garment? So Tosfos says, we want to do like Moshe Rabbeinu. We go out of our way to buy a four-corner garment and wear it in order to be chayiv in the mitzvah of tzitzis. And other Balei HaTosfos disagree, and they say, who do you think you are? When you'll be on the Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, then you'll go out of your way to put yourself in a situation to be mechuyev on more mitzvahs. There's yuhara. You put on an arba kamfes in order to be chayiv in mitzvah. Who do you think you are, Moshe Rabbeinu? So there were such Sephardishi communities, I think in Morocco, where the only one who wore a talis was the Rav. They felt that the Balabatim should wear a talis. Arba Kamfes says, Yuhara, not Mechzik Yura. Outright Yuhara. Who do you think you are? The rabbi maybe looks at a Madrega like Moshe Rabbeinu, but the Balabatim should wear a talis. So they told me that those Kehillahs, once they moved to Eretz Yisrael, everybody else was wearing a talis, so they discarded their meeting for Naltahim because they're embarrassed. All the other shuls, everybody's wearing a talis, so they had to follow suit. But they told me that was the meaning of Naltahim by many Sephardishi communities. They have in their Chuvisvar. I'm not familiar with this one, but that's what some say, that there were Sephardishi communities where they didn't permit Balabatim to wear a talis. Only people on the level of Moshe Rabbeinu.
There's Gemara in Menachos about that. Tanya put on tzitzit, the Malach said, "How come you're evading the mitzvah?"
Right. So he was that Amora, right? So that Amora did wrong on his Madrega. He should have done it. But for Balabatim, that's the two opinions in Tosfos there. Would you say that everyone should wear an arba kamfes in order to put themselves in a situation where they'll be obligated to wear tzitzit, or is it only for people who are on such a high Madrega? So that's what the Gemara says. What motivated Moshe Rabbeinu to have the desire to live in Eretz Yisrael? Not in Lechol Mipiri with his boy Mituva, but rather because there are so many mitzvahs that can only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. So he desired, Kodesh Ani Lords, let me enter Eretz Yisrael, that I should be able to fulfill the mitzvahs. So the Gemara has on the third wide line, Amar Lo HaKodesh Baruch Hu, the next line is also very strange. So the Baruch Shalom tells Moshe Rabbeinu in response, what's the whole motivation? Why do you want to go to Eretz Yisrael to do the mitzvah of Tfilas Boritz? Why? To get reward. I'll give you the reward. You don't have to do the mitzvah. I'll give you the reward. That's why he wanted to do the mitzvahs. The Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Latil Kavadam Hashem Shesarav, Amanasal Kavapras. You shouldn't do mitzvahs in order to get reward. You should do the mitzvahs out of Avos Hashem. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam tell him? Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Atam Mevakesh Ela Lekabel Schar. The whole motivation is because you want to get schar for fulfilling the mitzvahs. Is Harena Kilo Is Kapalta. Amar Lo HaLeach Kilo Asisim. I'll consider it as if you did the mitzvah. Very strange Gemara. The Mefarshim on Pirkei Avos says the Kasha, not Mishnah. It says, Al Tiyo Kavarim Hashem Shin Sarab. Amar Lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klum Atam Mevakesh. So what does the Ribbono Shel Olam say? Your whole motivation, you want to get reward? That wasn't his motivation. Very strange. The Gemara closes, the parak closes by commenting on a pasuk in Yeshaya. So the pasuk in Yeshaya, the simple reading of the pasuk in Yeshaya, is not referring to Moshe Rabbeinu at all. A whole different shot. But the Gemara is giving an additional level of interpretation, and they're interpreting Shenehemar. The pasuk in the end of parak Nun Gimel there is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Lachein Chalek Lo Barabim. I'm going to give this Moshe Rabbeinu a tremendous reward. How much reward? Like the big guns? Like the Beinonim? No. V'esatzumim yechalik. Yechalik shalom. He's going to get reward like the big tzaddikim, like Avram Yitzchak Yankelik, what I was going to say. Why? Why does Moshe Rabbeinu deserve such a reward? Tachas shesheher la'moves nafsho. He was prepared to give up his life to fight out the causes of the Rebbein Shalom. V'esposhim nimne. He's listed together with the Rishoyim. V'uchet rabim naso. And he got the rabim to be forgiven for their sins. V'laposhim yavgi. And he prayed on behalf of all of the Rishoyim. So the Gemara is going to interpret every phrase. And that pasuk is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu. Zog di Gemara. Lachen achalak lo berabim. I'm going to give Moshe Rabbeinu a tremendous char, like the big guns, like the big tzaddikim. Yochol kachreinim. Maybe like his father Amram. Maybe like the Shvatim. No. Maybe kachreinim lo kerishenim, like later tzaddikim, and not like the real big tzaddikim Avram Yitzchak Yankov. Nein tamalam es hatzumi mechalak sholom. Ki Avram Yitzchak v'Yankov, like the real strong tzaddikim. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to get tzchar like the big tzaddikim Avram Yitzchak Yankov. She'em atzumim b'tor v'mitzvus. Why does he deserve such reward? Because tachas she'er olam avos nafsho, because prepared to give up his life on behalf of the Torah mitzvahs. When was that? Shemaser atzma lemisa. When he's praying to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that Hashem should forgive Bnei Yisrael for the Chet HaEgel. So he says, "Mayin, if you don't forgive them, mecheinin namisifuch hasher kasavta." He's prepared to give up his chelik, whatever the pshat and his chelik in the Sefer HaChaim and the Sefer Torah. So that's called Herel Amavis Nafsha. He's prepared to give up his life on behalf of Kvod Shemayim. That's Poshim Nimne. He died in the Midbar together with all the Mesa Midbar. The Mesa Midbar died because of the sin of the Meraglim. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't sin with the Meraglim, but he goes down in history, Nebach, Shenimne Mesa Midbar. He died together with everybody else. So Abusha for him. He accomplished that the sins of the Jewish people were forgiven. He davened long enough, 40 days and 40 nights, till he got to Rabban Shalom to forgive. He prayed on behalf of the Rishoyim. He prayed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they should do tshuva and their sins should be forgiven. And the word pigiyah means he was davening. As the pasuk says, "Al tivga bi." Baruch Shem says, "Don't daven him. Al tispal baru amazev. Al tivga bi. Don't daven anymore." So the Gemara interprets that was the reward that Moshe Rabbeinu was given. This was quite a break of Agadata. We had such. Okay, you got to get back a little bit of Allah. Maybe I'll just start the first line. Believe it or not, we were learning Masechah Saito. So the Mishnah is going to tell the husband is choshed his wife, there's kinah, steer. He brings it to the Beis HaMikdash and he has to bring a minchas kinoos. He has to bring a mincha. So the Mishnah says, when any other person brings a mincha to the Beis HaMikdash, kovet ha-mitzvah requires he should bring it in klei kesef, klei zohav. I was going to quote a long tosefta on the Beis, very important tosefta about korban mincha. And on this occasion, we bedavke do not bring a bekovadika kli to hold the mincha. He's maybe who, hoya maybe who. We'll have to discuss. Rashi says the husband is maybe. Why does Rashi say the husband? Maybe means the kohen. So Rashi says no, the husband brings the mincha betoch kfifa mitzvahs, a bizoyindika kli, a cheap wooden kli, a wicker basket. Then he gives it to the wife. She should hold it the whole time. So now the mesichta is going to get back to parsha site. Sichter's gone back.
Was the fact that Joseph didn't tell Yaakov that he was alive, was that a violation of Kibbutz?
That's what the Ramban is. The father's dying from aggravation. His son is missing for some years. He doesn't send the father a postcard. Dad, I'm alive. Let the father know you're still alive. So the Ramban, the kasha is very strong. So the Ramban says that he understood that the chalaimus that he had, everybody's going to bow down to him. That was a nevuah. And the father's only going to bow down if he does know who he is. He felt, he understood, the Yosef HaTzadik understood from the Nevuah that he should go through this whole rigmarole to have them all come down to Egypt. So, no, the kasha is better than the answer.
From this Gemara, would you see that that's not so? That because they...
He was only punished because he wasn't Moicha. Yeah, it sounds like that's the only thing that he did wrong. That's the only fault that we found with him, why he allowed the brothers to say Avdecha Avinu and he wasn't Moichem. Sounds like everything else, the whole rest of the Hanhagi did, was proper. That's what the Ramban is. Wasn't the whole Hanhoge improper that he doesn't let the father know he's on?
Back to Yaakov not seeing his appearance in 2013.
That's how the Medrash says. Yeah. Pella de Gezach. For the last several years, we have a representative, Rabbi Mr. Yudkin from Eretz Yisrael. They have a yeshiva in Kiryat Malachi. People think that it's a Lubavitcher yeshiva. It's not for Lubavitcher. They have a lot of Bali Tshuva there, which other yeshivas cannot accommodate, and they take care of them, boys and girls. They have a boys' school, girls' school.
Okay.